for my mother, who showed me how. In the beginning, the noise came from behind the mission. It sounded like a cat. I've imagined it countless times. At about 11:30, the night watchman pulled his car around back of St. Joseph's Mission, one of the Indian residential schools in British Columbia, Canada, where my family was sent to unlearn our Indian ways. The four-story building was all white and right angles, unadorned save for a big cross looming over the entrance and blue-green trim that from a distance made the campus look like a hunk of moldy cheese plopped in the middle of the valley. In my mind's eye, his carburetor is coughing, the crickets are singing, and there's that tiny, eerie cry. When he killed the engine and stepped out from behind his insect-speckled windshield, the night watchman could hear it too. It was coming from the service wing, a single-story brick annex at the back of the mission. The baby's scream climbed the lone smokestack looming out of that annex and crawled across the school grounds. It was primal, the sound of birth meeting death. The night watchman flicked on his flashlight. Its beam reflected off his brow-line eyeglasses. Antonius Cornelius Stoop went by Tony. He wore his brown hair and one of those short-cropped everyman cuts. And he was an everyman. A Dutchman who spoke broken English, Tony immigrated to Canada from the old country. At night, he walked the grounds of St. Joseph's, a ring of keys jingling on his hip and a flashlight in his hand. It was his job to make sure the Indian kids weren't up to any Indian mischief, like stealing food or running away. He also kept an eye on the mission's prized and profitable herd of Herefords. Undoubtedly, he saw and heard things in his many nights at St. Joseph's, where he worked for more than 30 years until the school was shuttered in 1981. But he said little and kept to himself. Earlier that evening, Tony attended a meeting of the Knights of Columbus, a Catholic fraternal organization in Williams Lake. To reach the town of Williams Lake from St. Joseph's Mission, about 12 miles, he took Mission Road north to the Caribou Highway. He turned left, following the road west as it winds above the shores of Williams Lake into the Canadian cow town of the same name. Both the lake and town take their name from the Sequetmuc, Shuswap, Chief William. During the Caribou Gold Rush of the 1860s, William's people were forced out of their ancestral village in what is now the town of Williams Lake. As ranchers turned hunting grounds to pastures and downriver canneries gobbled salmon runs, William's people starved. The white men have taken all the land and all the fish. A vast country was ours. It is all gone, William wrote in a letter published by the Daily British Colonist in 1879. Good friends to the Indians say that Her Majesty loves her Indian subjects and will do justice. Justice is no use for a dead Indian. In 1894, amendments to Canada's Indian Act made attendance at mission schools like St. Joseph's compulsory for Indigenous children. In a generation, nearly all Sequetmuc children and lands were taken. A 1964 photograph of the Knights of Columbus's clergy night, published in the Williams Lake Tribune, captures the portraits of seven priests, all seated. The one farthest to the right, Brother Doughty, was convicted on numerous counts of sexual abuse. Another, Father O'Connor, dead center, was a principal at St. Joseph's who rose to the rank of bishop. Convicted of rape and indecent assault in 1996, he was acquitted of the assault on appeal. A new trial was called for the rape, but after O'Connor apologized to his alleged victims, that trial did not move forward. In 2021, the Williams Lake First Nation opened an investigation into missing students at St. Joseph's Mission. The First Nations investigators found that under O'Connor and other principals at St. Joseph's, babies conceived by students and nuns, including some fathered by priests, were aborted or adopted out. Witnesses, as well as records in the Royal Canadian Mounted Police archives, attested to something even darker: newborn babies cast into the incinerator to be burned with the garbage. Sometimes I wonder what Tony knew about these men and what happened at their school after dark. It's hard to imagine he spent all those years walking the mission grounds at night without hearing or seeing some of the things that students, prosecutors, juries, and even abusers themselves later acknowledged. But he did tell this story to the Williams Lake Tribune, where seven decades